Valley is beautiful.
Speaker view.
Asti.
Om Jai Guru, Jai Guru, Soham. Om Sa, Soham.
Om Brahmasmi. Om Brahmasmi.
John, do you want to turn on my video?
There you are.
Hi. Hi.
Hello, hello.
Hi. Hi.
There she is.
We did get two questions in this week. One of them was asking about witness and witnessing, and the other one was, I have been listening to the Zoom videos on YouTube for a long time. However, even after taking Diksha of Ranjit Maharaj via Sri Akolkoti in Solapar, find myself amidst the trivialities of life. I feel disappointed if I don't do well as my peers and I don't get paid as much as I deserve. I usually spend a lot of time sulking, angry, critical of myself and others. I know this shouldn't happen, but it does. Please talk to us on how one should be at their workplace with family. I do bhajans at least twice. I want to get rid of this anger, frustration, rejection. Thanks, Jaguru. Both of those are body-based questions. Because when I say I'm at work, I'm identifying with a body at work. Identify your formlessness. This is so important. It's really the whole thing, because then no questions come. Identify your true formless nature. The body's an instrument. You're the formless holder of the body. I think Maharaj has even had, he says, no witness, no witnesser, no experience, no experiencer, nothing. This is the absolute truth. So if we were to go within the body-based illusion and say, what is what, then everything can be, but nothing really is. So speaking about that which is not, Maharaj sums it up beautifully. We're speaking about the unborn child. How can the unborn child get along better with his colleagues at work? By remaining unborn. And this is not to make light. I understand many questions coming when you're identified with a body and you're in a world and you say, well, these are very important questions to me. But this me just has to be erased slowly, silently, and permanently. And you do this by remaining with your selfless self through mantra, through bhajan. Bhajan is nice because it provides a spiritual atmosphere and sort of shakes the body apart. So you feel every so often that feeling of expansion, which again, the feeling of expansion is from a body-based perspective. The reality is the illusion is not pressuring any longer because you're starting to know yourself in a real sense. So you don't believe that you're confined to this little limited body. See, when you know yourself in a real sense, even this body-based existence is not limiting because you are all of everything. You're none of this has anything to do with you. And you'll know this. This conviction will be so strong that how the only way how is to go back to the dream and explain it this way, that you're formless. Suddenly a sense of existence projects a dream world. This something comes out of nothing. Then you wake up and this something goes back to nothing. But you're formless. And yet you take a form and you participate in worldly activities in your dream world. You're doing the same right now, but you're calling it difference of waking world, dream world. Like people say, well, you don't understand. This is my life. Well, no. No. You could say the same in dream. This is very important to me in dream. Maybe you dream about a test you're taking and you do very well on the test. You're very happy and you're very proud of yourself for your achievement. Or maybe you're dreaming that you're worried about this test. But you're not taking the test in the dream. And in reality, formless you, in which this dream is appearing, is never going to take this test. Has nothing to do with this illusory existence. It has to be hammered home. I am not body. I was not body. I'm not going to remain the body. Body's not my identity. It's okay to use the body as an instrument. You are a form. Speaker and listener are one and the same because there is only one. As far as anger, we're listening right now, the thunder and the clouds and all this sort of stuff. Okay, clouds are coming. Good thoughts are coming, bad thoughts are coming. Anger, frustration, all these sort of things. Okay, but they're all appearing on spontaneous presence, which is why we mentioned last week, only the witness is witness of presence. And this is not really even witnessing, it's just all of the awareness is on this presence and the entire world comes on presence. This clouds, this rain, all this sort of stuff is far removed. The center is not moving. Objects are appearing and disappearing. And only for the time that this body is available and you can sort of use it as a telescope to peek inside the illusory world. Just like your dream character is how you use a telescope to peek inside what's going on inside the dream. Say, oh, I'm dreaming. But actually, most of the time you're in the dream and you think it's reality because that's how quick you identify as something. Maharaj has said, what spirit is impressed, it reflects immediately. So inside your dream tonight, You're going to believe that it's the reality because of the quick identification of the formlessness with form and the activities that are being performed that you're evidently, quote, witnessing. It won't be until you wake up and you say, oh, I was just dreaming. And when you know yourself in a real sense, you can say, oh. So this body-based existence is a long dream.
In a way, it's a short dream in the sense that every single part or thing that you think is real doesn't last. So that's pretty short.
You know, when you know yourself in a real sense, then this whole body-based existence, you see, okay, so I know myself. This is not the reality. Everything I'm seeing, it's not the reality. How can it be? The space becomes aware of itself as space and no longer identifies with certain objects within itself because, oh, I'm the space. How can I be any one object or any one thing or anything at all? That's why you know yourself in a real sense. Dream's over. And yet body's still available to enjoy and play and, okay. But birth and death no longer can disturb you because they don't make sense. How you were prior to beingness and how you'll be after leaving the body, that's the reality. This body-based existence is the something that appears within the nothing that you are. You have nothing to do with the body, nothing to do with the world. But you come into contact with the body, and for a time you see a world. But don't identify with the telescope, the instrument that you're using. And we know this because presence leaves the body, it's a dead body. Well, it's a dead body right now, animated, moving about, because of the power that you are, that supernatural power that you are.
I think sometimes you say that the spirit can't know itself without a body, but I was wondering if awareness can exist without a body.
Objectless awareness where there's nothing to be aware of, even aware of your own self, because you are all that is. So how? You come to know I exist because the sense of existence arises. Oh, I exist. Other than that, the sense of existence had to appear and the sense of existence will disappear. But prior to beingness, there was no sense of existence. That's why we say prior to the sense of existence, which created the something within the nothing that you are.
So you could say sense of existence is sort of a personal bias in a way.
No, sense of existence is just I am, I exist. Just like sense of existence, when you lay down at sleep, you're formless. Deep sleep is the no knowing of your own self, but you're obviously there. Then the sense of existence arises and mixes, and boom, a dream world is projected. Because this sense of I exist gives birth to a consciousness, a creativity within the dream world. But when you're in deep sleep, then you very much are, but there's no knowledge of your existence or anything else. Now suddenly I exist and a dream world is created. So once there's no knowledge of your existence, there will no longer be this waking dream. But whether this waking dream is or is not, just like in deep sleep, whether the deep sleeper knows you are or not, the dream existence has appeared. So it appeared to something that you are. This waking state has appeared to something that you are. Without you, none of this could be. But you keep thinking that you're this individual body form and limiting yourself as such. This is not true. That's why meditation, you know yourself in a real sense. Conviction comes, oh, so that I am that. I have nothing to do with this body, nothing to do with this world. And yet, now, enjoy this. You have this body for a time, but just know it's just like a character. That's it. All the body-based relations are illusion because you're not body. All the body-based knowledge is basically useless because you are not a body. Everything came out of nothing. So anything that you're grabbing onto is actually nothing, but it's appearing for a time as something. So why grab nothing?
Or anything.
Oh, Alan, hold on. Alan has a hand up. I didn't even, if you would like to.
Yes, concerning how we deal with desire. When desire arise, I say, okay, that's nothing. But when this, when they start a kind of struggle with that, you just keep watching or?
Yeah, desire just comes and goes as long as you're not participating in it and creating a desire that's going after something. And you have to have very much a position to say, I want something. If you're formless, what could you want?
Yeah.
Remaining with your selfless self, desires come and go.
Yeah, but sometimes some of them are too strong. Okay, too much belief in them. Okay.
Personalizing them because there's an I am somebody else that believes that this desire is there and should be fulfilled, or oh, I need to hold that back and not fulfill that. But again, that's an I am somebody else. Yeah. And remaining with your selfless self, these desires, they don't disturb. They might come in. And like Maharaj says, what thoughts to accept, what not to accept is up to you. I have a desire for water. Okay, I drink some water. You know, I have a desire to be with my neighbor's wife. Not a good desire. You know, so you hold on. But you have to be somebody in order for this desire to arise. And rather than fight with the desire, just know yourself in a real sense.
I guess it comes down to how much you love the self. If you're entertaining yourself with the true self, those desires, even if they emerge, they will disappear, like Guruji Jan says, instantly. Because that love, when you return to that self, the self, it's much more than any transient feeling looking at a neighbor's wife could give you, or eating a Burger King, or, you know, or whatever, you know. And I think if you love if you're devoted to that selfless self, I think the desires just, they don't even appear anymore, you know, no matter what they are.
Selfless self-intoxication. Selfless self-intoxication. That becomes more than anything. There's nothing in the world that can provide that selfless self-intoxication. Just remaining with your selfless self. That unimaginable peace. That absence of all disturbance. And then the desire comes and creates a disturbance, but you want to remain undisturbed with your selfless self. Regardless of what the desire is, it no longer appears like anything that's worth going after because, oh no, I'll just remain here with my selfless self. The pain and pleasure principle can only arise when I'm an object in time and I'm identified with being a body. And then I give it to mind and I say, oh, this was very pleasurable. I'd love to repeat this. Or, oh, this was very terrible. I'd never want to have that happen again. But the reality is it's spontaneous existence in the moment, scenes appearing and disappearing. There's no need to give it to mind and say, okay, mind, what do you think about this? No. Just remain with your selfless self.
That's where memory comes in and misleads us, I guess, to...
Well, those are the wrong files. Like Maharaj says, the memories are of, I am someone. I experienced this. But you're not someone, and there's no experience, no experiencer. But the mind will happily create a projection that looks like you were someone experiencing something that would desire to repeat that experience or have a fear of that experience and don't want it to occur again. But again, you've given it to mind and only because you believe you're someone. These are the wrong files. Every memory you have is from the perspective of being a body in a world. Now you know you're not a body in a world. So this mind replaying memories doesn't make sense.
That's what I was saying last week about neutralizing anything that might still have any kind of charge to it because it doesn't have anything to do with who I really am.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's mantra is a tool for doing that. It does neutralize.
Yes, it erases all those wrong files. As Maharaj says, it's the antivirus software, slowly, silently, and permanently.
Yeah.
Sometimes my mind will say, well, what am I doing? What is this mantra doing for me?
Remember, your mind is not a separate entity. It doesn't, like, we... create this experience of a mind that says XYZ or wants me to do XYZ. In reality, as Maharaj says, mind is nothing but a flow of thoughts. There's identification as I am someone, and therefore I have these thoughts. But this is not true either. These are thoughts flowing. What thought to accept, what not to accept is up to you completely. And when you know yourself in a real sense, you won't choose body-based thoughts that are flowing by naturally. They will just leave. You won't jump on them and say, aha, this is a good thought.
You see them for what they aren't.
Well, you know yourself. You know yourself in a real sense. And when you know yourself in a real sense, you're experiencing spontaneous existence. There is no... You know how like a slug will make a trail behind it? Spontaneous existence is not this.
I just saw two slugs, really big ones on my front porch the other day, leaving this trail. Yeah.
Exactly. Spontaneous existence is not like this. Scenes appearing and disappearing. and only for a time. Because prior to being this, there were no scenes, there was no witness, no witnesser, no experiencer, no experience, no world, no body, no names, no words. You're prior to all of this. All of this has appeared on your spontaneous presence, will play for a time, and will disappear. But you, to whom all of this has appeared, will still be, because you are. There can't not be a you to whom this appears. Otherwise, to whom would this appear? So. We keep thinking that this body-based existence is the reality and how we're going to die and leave the reality. No, the body-based existence is absolutely illusion. And when it no longer is, you very much are.
But you won't be conscious of it.
Well, you are.
Well, yeah, but there's no consciousness of that, except is when we have this body, then we can be conscious of the selfless self and selfless self intoxication. But when the body is dissolved, there's just going to be energy going on. I'm not personal, not identified, right?
Well, when you're in bliss.
Nothing has happened.
But forms are appearing and disappearing all the time.
Yeah.
It's only identification with one specific form is why you believe that after this form is gone, there's nothing.
If there is anything, will it be anything like bliss? Because when you're in bliss, it's like there's nothing.
This body-based existence is just form. Form appearing and disappearing. Two forms get together, create a baby form and continuum in this way. And the space continuously comes in and says, oh, I am this. It's a continuous, just like in a dream. Your formless reality.
So we're
this
liberty.
That you are experiencing now is not true. That's why they're still body-based, like, oof, I've been with this body a long time. I like feeling this existence, even though it's completely false. I like feeling like I'm alive, even though I'm not. I like feeling like I'm doing things even though I'm not. It's
a natural contradiction that we all carry. Yeah.
Yes, only because of identification with the body. Because there's still the belief that I'm going to be gone. I'm going to leave this body-based existence and I will be no more. But this is not true.
Will there be anything akin to bliss when the body's gone?
Where we are,
there is everything. There is. See, we're still talking from the point of an individual. How will this individual feel? This is where all these religions come in, and they say, "Oh, after I die, I'm like a spirit, but I still have my body, and I'm still me, and I'm moving on." But there's no you now. Like
when I'm in bliss, there's no me. I mean, I got it.
Yeah. So there's no you now. So how are you going to die? And then another little like sort of cartoon or see-through you then goes on to do something else. No, there's no you now. Not like that.
Yeah, I was thinking about how small I feel when I think about what I'm, you know, think about thinking what I am and stuff, how small that is compared to I don't know whatever the vastness is.
The entire universe is within you. Everything.
Yeah, we're not small at all.
But what I think I am is very small, right?
That's the limited concept that I am something.
Yeah.
But you're nothing.
Nothing. And everything.
And everything.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, there is no everything because everything came out of nothing. And it's only appearing as something.
Yeah.
While you're knowing. But knowingness, when there's no knowingness, and it won't be like a lack of knowing. So many people also think, oh, I'll be in a void. And I'll have all this knowingness and all this awareness of myself, but it'll just be like a void and there'll be nothing. But even this void is a mind-created kind of thing. Because who's here, this void is appearing.
So except for self with self, there's no void, I guess.
There's no nothing. That's why Maharaj says, accept your selfless self. There's no God, no Brahman, no Paramatma, no master, nothing is there. Accept this reality. Once you accept this reality, then you know that this body-based illusion is exactly that. It's illusion. It's not true. We are discussing and contemplating the life of the unborn child and trying to then say that we're trying to appease this unborn child so that it can live a happy life. And then we want an explanation as to who are the parents of this unborn child. And now what happens to this unborn child once he no longer knows himself? And what does this unborn child gain or lose? Prior to beingness and after leaving the body, that is the reality. Everything in between is the illusory existence that seems like something, but is nothing.
I got on late today because my Zoom was trying to update and I couldn't, it just got stuck and I had to get around it. It took a little while, but just in case, like for some reason we don't meet next week, the week after that, I'm not going to be available for this. Just thought I'd let you know in advance.
Okay.
Oh.
It is pretty amazing. The more I, as things go along, I see the truth of what Ramakant and those guys are saying. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's crazy. Experience it directly for yourself. Master's told the good news. Now it's up to you to find this good news within your own self. And on the YouTube channel, I finished that Atma, Anatma, the Vivek or Viveka or something like that, the Maharaj book that is kind of scrolling on YouTube. So I would highly recommend looking at that. And then I just put up Siddharameshwar Maharaj about dissolution or something like this. It's very nice. And I put that up in one part. And then end of next week, probably we'll put up the second part so that people don't get burned out with a lot of videos coming. But that's very good too. And it explains everything in very, very simple way. And that's the, like Maharaj says, spirituality is not a part-time thing. We listen to the discussions, we participate in the discussions, then we listen to the videos of Master, we listen to the videos with, with Ramakant Maharaj, Nisargadatta Maharaj, these various, we have all these videos available to us. We're very blessed because think about a couple hundred years ago, you had to like climb a mountain and go and find one person who is having knowledge and all this kind of stuff. And for us, like Ramakant Maharaj says, it's fast food. We have so much fast food available to just feed ourselves. And the more we remain in that spiritual atmosphere and it's just permeating of, okay, And I listen to this talk, and I listen to this talk, and I listen to this talk, and then I remain with myself. I know this reality. I know it. I must find this truth. And then it dawns, so that I am that. I think we're about to cut off here.
About to dissolve.
Yes, indeed.
Right,